Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Back in Sunday school, getting God's word. Good to see you guys. I'm going to start us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day, this beautiful rainy day, that we can come together, learn your word. We appreciate everything you've done for us in our lives, our salvation. We appreciate your son that great God and Savior has saved us from the wrath to come. We're in Thessalonians, and you've saved, and it's that blessed hope that you have for us. And we're grateful for our heavenly conversation that we have, and we want to give you all the glory. Let the Holy Spirit be our teacher, and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good to see you guys again. I'm glad to be here. Appreciative, grateful, thankful, and another opportunity to be before the saints, the body of Christ, and to get into God's word, because we know God's word is final authority. It's God that we know that God's word is the greatest wisdom in the world, and we want to let that wisdom flourish in our lives and just let it work in and out of our lives. So we started in 1 Thessalonians. This church, we're in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, and this church explains the birth of... I'm going to kind of recap what we... For anybody that wasn't here, or repetition is good for many things to learn. Repeat, repeat, repeat. So, this church, in chapter 1 explains the birth of the Thessalonian church, the power of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel by the Thessalonians, and that faith, hope, and love. And those three words are essential to what we, to the dispensation of grace and what we're teaching. We know that this church is a model church. It's in northern Greece, just west of Philippi. And it was a pagan Greek city until Paul got there and started showing people the truth. And remember, he was there for about 3 Sabbaths. So he was there. It could have been 5 weeks he was there, or 3 weeks. But he was there for a short period of time teaching the gospel. And he kind of got a lot to this Thessalonian church and teaching them. They got a lot out of it. They became believers. It wasn't many of them, but it was a good amount of them that it was enough to start the church. We know that this epistle was written in Corinth. It was written around 51-54 AD. That is that all 5 chapters, even 2 Thessalonians, talk about the pre-tribulational rapture and kind of mention it in all the chapters. And when he got a vision in Troas in Acts 16 there, and that vision compelled him to go to Macedonia, Thessalonica, instead of going into where he was at in Asia Minor. It compelled him to go toward Greece, toward Europe. And that's a quick recap. Thessalonian and the church, and I wanted to get a map. I'm getting it laminated right now, but a map that you could kind of look at and you could see Paul's journeys. And there's different kind of maps, but this one is of the Mediterranean Sea, the Aegean Sea, Thessalonica is right above. It's above the Aegean Sea. And it's good to kind of be able to visualize and see and know where all these churches are, these cities. Because like we mentioned last week, that also this Paul's timeline. This is a good timeline to have in your arsenal to be studying, because all of the places that he went to are all real places today. So we know that God's word is not a bunch of fairy tales. We know that it's based on true cities that was around and that they're still around today, even 2,000 years later. So we can rest assured that God's word is infinite and that it's true. So let's go. Yeah, and then we know that he was joined by Timothy, and in Acts 16, he was with Silas, and then they went to this church. they went to Thessalonica, and then he got kicked out of town afterward. Because that's what usually happens. In Philippi, he was, you know, he had to get out of town. He got beaten. Then he went to Thessalonica, and then they kind of got him. They started a riot there, as you remember, and they kicked him out of town because, you know, the Jews there weren't having it. And we're going to get into that, seeing how the Jews are saying, you're preaching to the Gentiles our God. Because, you know, the Jews thought that you had to go through them, which you did at one point. But when Paul came, that was a different story. So, all right, well, let's get into God's Word, 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to kind of run up from verse 1 into verse 3. Paul and Silvanus, which is Silas, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, grace and peace are always what Paul starts with, because it's a dispensational kind of forefront there, but it's grace and peace. It's always today, it's grace and peace. He's holding back his wrath and judgment and war. He's telling that to the Thessalonian church, verse 2. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Giving God, always praying for each other, praying for the saints. That's what Paul was doing. He's always praying and mentioning, he's not trying to think of negative things. He's always trying to think of positive, the positive that people, you know, keeping them in prayers. And he's always doing that, which Paul is a pattern for us. So in verse 3, here we go. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So that the threefold there, your labor of love. So we know faith is taking God at His word, and that love is the greatest crowning virtue. That, you know, God even wants us to love our enemies. And hope, the expectancy lies at the center of our daily Christian experience. Let me take a look at this real quick. I kind of went a little far on my notes, but to recap that faith, hope, and love, this is signaling a dispensational change. So, as we went in 1 Corinthians 13, as we seen in 1 Corinthians 13 last Sunday, that's that love chapter that everyone calls, but we seen that the things that abideth is faith, love, and hope. Those are things that abideth today. When Paul was looking at churches and looking, he was looking for that. He was looking at the faith that they had, the love that they had, and the hope that they had. And the things that are not abiding are the prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. So those, and you've seen that in 1 Corinthians 13, 8. And those are not abiding today. And we're kind of recapping from what we went over. And so those are not abiding today. But I did want to go in a little bit more. So those were, when you had prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, you know, the prophets back then, that was showing that you were of God, that you were a person of God. And today, those things are not abiding anymore. Today, to see that you're a person of Christ and a person of God, you have the faith, love, and hope. So come with me to Romans chapter 5. And we know these, but we're going to kind of tie in this faith, love, and hope, where we know Romans is a foundational book. And this is where the foundation was laid for Paul's epistles. And kind of get into that and kind of compare scripture with scripture. And that's what we do here at this church. We compare scripture with scripture. We want to let God's word speak for itself, instead of just anybody like me or anybody in the pastor find out if some things are so for yourself, for anybody listening or anybody here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. So now we're on the faith aspect here. Into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope. So now you have faith and hope of our glory, of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So we're all going to, God tells us we're going to be experiencing tribulations. And the Thessalonian church experienced this a lot. And Paul wanted to go back and visit him, but he couldn't because he was held back by Satan. Those are in the verses later in Thessalonians. But we have tribulations here in this church. Us, we do too. We all, and God doesn't say your life is going to be all sugar and candy and it's going to be all great. He says that we're going to go through these things, and that tribulation worketh patience. And you have patience in your life, patience with others, patience with the world. And then you're experienced, and you're experienced in these things. And then you have your, it strengthens that hope that lies in us. So that hope, and in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So now we got that faith, hope, and love. And that when you have that faith, you have that hope, and you just want to love, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that we have love for all people, love for everyone. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And Colossians is the, I went through Colossians, so it's always good to recap and just go back and what we were going. So Paul was, and when you're reading a book of the Bible, you want to see who's writing, who is he writing to. And we know that Romans, he was writing, Paul was writing to the Romans. And here we're in Colossians, and this is Paul, the writer, and he's writing to Colossae. He never visited Colossae, as we remember, but yeah, he'd never been to Colossae, but he was Epaphras, went back in Ephesus during the school of Tyrannus. That's more than likely where Epaphras learned, and he went and started the church of Colossae. But here we're going to go in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints. So you have that, see, he heard. He'd never been there. He heard of what was going on there. So since we heard of your faith, so they had faith, the Colossae church, and they were a pagan city too at the before. So in Christ Jesus and the love which he had to all saints. So they loved each other. They had love for each other. And verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. So you have that threefold going on there. You had the faith, love, and hope. And that was what the Colossae church have. That's what we have. We have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he saved us. We have that hope, that we know that we have a heavenly hope, and then that rapture, that's what Thessalonians is about. Then you have love, that love that you just can't be explained. You want to love each other just like the, I mean, all, as sinners as we are, the Lord loved us. So he didn't have to, but he did. And that's grateful. I'm grateful for that today. Okay, that's a recap. I do want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so let's jump there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is a very well-known verse, but this is the kind of... And remember, that faith, love, and hope, is those are signatures of what is happening today. It's not prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. Those are not abiding anymore. And those are what proved you were a man of God and you were of God. But today, that's not what's proving. It's that faith, love, and hope. And those are strong words. Those are very strong words that we can, you know, use that follow. These are signs that follow after you believe. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And these are well-known verses. But I'm going to run through a few verses here. For the love of Christ constraineth us. So, and real quick, so Corinthians, we know that this is a book written, who's writing, who they writing to. This is another one of Paul's epistles writing to the Corinthian church now. So, just kind of get a context of what you're reading. Anybody listening, this is what you want to get your mind in tune with, all right? And that's in all books of the Bible. So, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That's compels to follow. That constrain, it just is that love that Christ has for us, it just compels us to follow him and love him and to want to be part of what he's done, because he's not only saved you from wrath, he's given you a position in heaven, and he's got us as fellow heirs to reign with him in the heavenlies. It's a beautiful thing to keep in mind as you every day. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. See that? That's, we're not to be living unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, that's Christ's earthly ministry. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. We don't know him in Christ's earthly ministry anymore. Not after the flesh of Christ. Christ is risen now, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, if any man, see, this is all Pauline language. This is all for today. This is all, you find these in Paul's epistles. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. So here is our commission. This is called the commission of reconciliation. This is what our marching orders is to do today. So all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. So God has brought the two parties that are separate. God has done the work and said, hey, come back to me. Let's reconcile. He's forgiven us of all our trespasses. He wants us to walk into that reconciliation by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of reconciliation of it's our duty. What did he say before? Let us not live unto ourselves. Let us live for the one who rose and died for us. Ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. See, it is our duty to we have been reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to try and bring others to be reconciled to get saved. We've been saved. God has done that, and that ministry of reconciliation is to work for, is to live for the Lord, and to try and help and bring others to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can do verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord for that. So I wanted to go through that kind of, that love. The love is going to compel you. The love that the love of Christ constraineth us, compels us to serve him, because we have all these goodies in him. He loves us, and he wants us to love him and to love each other as those saints that we've seen in Colossians, for the love you have for the saints. All right. Well, I wanted to recap that one, and I hope that kind of made a little more sense because I didn't get into that last Sunday. But let's go back to 1 Thessalonians and do this. So what we're doing today, we all know this, but anybody listening, we're doing a verse-by-verse study. This is probably the best study to do, and we're just swimming through the scriptures verse by verse and wanting to compare scripture and let God's word speak for itself again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. All right. And we're going to see that faith, love, and hope in the same chapter, just a few verses later. But that'll be later. Verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing, brethren, I got so much stuff written on here, it's hard for me. Knowing, brethren, and beloved, your election of God. So that election of God, I'm not going to get into that too much because that can be in its own self. But basically, we're placed in the body. Knowing that you're placed into the body of Christ. And we don't have no worries. We understand that we have this. This is what the Thessalonian church understood. And so do we. The Thessalonian church went from pagan to saints. And before, we were unsaved and lost in this world. And we stepped into the body of Christ. And the Lord considers us as saints. And so verse 4. So that's all I'm getting into in there. Verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So you see, he's doing this for... He's that ministry of reconciliation. He's doing it for their sakes. He came unto them to, in what manner of men he was. So, just to kind of, let's go back for our gospel. So, the Apostle Paul is always saying, my gospel. You know, this, he's always mentioning that there's a difference. There's a gospel that he's mentioning. The gospel of grace of God. And we know that there's two main gospels. That's the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of grace of God. And this is what he's saying, our gospel. And from what I understand is that he really means my gospel. But he's not, sometimes the writers didn't want to seem, from what I understand, egotistical and in this context. But what he means is my gospel. And that manner of men, remember, Paul was, when he went to Thessalonian church, he got kicked out, he got beaten and kicked out of town. So this dude was limping to Thessalonica. He wasn't just like, hey, I'm here, I'm full of energy, I'm ready. Like, he probably didn't get much sleep, he probably didn't feel good, and he still went and did what he had to do. And he did it for the Lord, he did it like a man, you know, and he did things that I'm not trying to sound like, oh, like a man, but like, you know, us, when you're disciplined and you have a duty, you're going to do the things that you have to do, even though whether you like it or not. And he was compelled. The love of Christ constrained him to do these things. He didn't have to go there. He could have just been like, screw this, I'm going home. You know what I'm saying? He could have just been like, I'm going home. And I, excuse me, and I meant that in none of the negative sense. So he could have just said, I can just go home and go back to being a Pharisee or whatever. He had rank at the time, whatever rank he had. But that manner of men, remember, Paul wasn't out for gain either. He wasn't out for gain. He wasn't out. You've seen that in 2 Corinthians 12. And then he wasn't covetous of silver or gold. You've seen that in Acts 20. So he wasn't coveting money. He wasn't coveting things. He wasn't out for gain. You see that on his epistles. And so he came not in the best of shape to these, and he stood there for a couple weeks, and then he got kicked out of town. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians, and let's go to chapter 2. We're going to kind of jump a little bit. So same book, chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. See, God, this is God allowed him to have this gospel, be trust in the gospel. It wasn't another man telling him, hey, you got to be do this. God told him this. Christ gave him his instructions. No one else. To be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speaking, not as pleasing men. See, we're not here to please men. We're here to try and help get men saved. We're not here to please what you believe and what you think. We're here to serve the Lord and give him that and tell the truth. The truth shall set you free, and sometimes the truth hurts. We know, I'm sure we all know that from first account. So you can see that all throughout the world. When somebody wants to tell the truth, what do they want to do? Shut you up. They want to ban you these days. They want to, you know, shut your accounts on your internet or whatever, on social medias or whatever. So no one wants to hear the truth. But even so, we speak not as pleasing of men, but of God, which trieth our hearts. For neither, verse 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. See, God is our witness. Whenever you're out there in that world, you better know God is watching. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're in your life, God is right there. He knows everything you're doing. So you ain't all the what is God knows the secrets of men. And he and Paul saying here, we didn't use flattering words. We did the best we can to try to get this church going, you know. As ye know, nor cloak of covetous, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. We're not here to get a glory from men. Neither of you, nor yet others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So that's basically getting into, that's that manner of men that Paul was. That's what he's saying. Hey, we didn't come with flattering words. We didn't come to give glory to men. We came to promote the Lord. We came to be ambassadors. I didn't get to that word that came, but ambassadors, as you know, is someone goes, ambassador of America, he goes to another country and represents the America. He goes and he represents. So our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors from heaven here trying to get people and saying, hey, look how great this is. You know, you want to be at peace, you want grace in your life, you want peace in your life, come check this out. So let's go back to first Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Okay. And ye became followers of us. He didn't say you became followers of Peter. You became followers of John. You became followers even of Christ. Even though we are followers of Christ, he's saying you're followers of us. He's saying, and I'm going to get into a few verses right now. And of here he does say this, followers of us and of the Lord. See, when everyone says, well, why are you Paul this and Paul that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is a chosen vessel for today. It's not, if he wasn't, I wouldn't be talking about it right now that he was. So the truth of the matter is that he is. He's the one that gives us what we're supposed to be doing today. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given him that authority. He never got it from no man. Lord Jesus Christ gave him that authority. And having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I didn't get too much into in verse 5 of the Holy Ghost, but remember the Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's the one that is there opening the eyes and teaching, and he's even today right now. He's the one that's leading this message. He's the one that's guiding this, and there's power in that. Remember, he's his own person. God is in three persons. God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's three different individuals that make up the entity that makes up God. So let's go to, just to kind of prove our point, let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:16. And remember, whenever you're going through the scriptures, and when you have this book in your hand, when you have this book, you have proofs and truths, and you have things that this is proof. You want facts? This is facts right here. This is not, when you have this and you're sharing with somebody facts. This is, you're going to the facts now. You're not going into anything that man is saying or man made up. This is the facts. 4:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Okay? So that's the word for word. Be ye followers of me. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And in the Bible, the people who say follow me throughout the Bible, it's Paul and Christ. Jesus is always saying follow me, and Paul is always saying follow me. So just a little tidbit there, but chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. See, he's of Christ. We're not worshiping Paul. We're not giving him any. He's just a regular man like you and me. But he chose to serve the Lord. We're not giving him. We're just doing what God says to do. We want to go to God God's way. We don't want to go to God man's way. And that's what religion is. Religion is going to God man's way. Going what we think, what we feel. It's not what we think or what we feel. It's what God says. It's what the Lord, it's what the Bible says. God has put his word above all his name. His word above all his name. So that word is important. And if he says, see, the Bible, and just a quick thing, the Bible is not, I was going over this yesterday. The Bible was written, the 66 books, It's put in order right now, but it wasn't written in that order. So it was written in different times, but between a span of like 1,500 years. So it wasn't written in order. But drop my thing here. But it put in order. So the order is that they put it is that you have Genesis through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the past. You have Acts as a transition book, and you have Romans through Philemon, which is present. This is, these things are written to us. They put this in order. You can just see the Bible for it, for what it's just by seeing it. And the Romans through Philemon are our order today, even though we can get so much knowledge. Not all of the Bible is written to us. All of it is written for us, but not all of it is written to us. And this, but and when you see it's Genesis through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then Acts transitions from the rise of the body of Christ to the fall of Israel. Then it goes, okay, now you have the 14 epistles of Paul, and those are for today. And then once you get into Hebrews to Revelation, that's future. And that future is where now it's, you see that the language goes back to prophecy. It goes away from what Paul was saying and all the that we're under grace and if things are not of works. Now it goes back, and that's when we get raptured, and then the 7-year tribulation comes in and all them things come through. So all that is written to Israel. Go read Hebrews and on and find and let me know who they're talking to. Let me know who they're speaking to. They're not speaking to the body of Christ no more. So that's a little tidbit where you can see past, present, and future. And today in the Bible, present is this. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. We'll just do one more. So yeah, unlike the 12, he represented Paul represented a new message, which is a gospel of grace, the new program, the dispensation of grace in God. That's in Ephesians 3:2, and it was committed to him by revelation to proclaim to others and to the whole world. We're in Philippians 3, right? Kind of got a little sidetracked here. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. This is another one written by Paul. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. See, he's our example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And you can keep reading. It's a good... this is read verse 20. It's such good truths. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're heavenly conversation citizenship. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Well, we get that glorious changed body, just like Christ. There it is, right there. But that conversation is in heaven, and that verse 17 through 19 is pretty deep there. It's saying, if you're not following Paul, and this that's what that says. If you're not following, brethren, be followers together of me. If you're not being followers together of him, then what does he say right in the verses after? That you're the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's a strong language there. So, I think I'm going to do what God tells me to do. He says to follow this guy, Paul. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Alright. And these books are all close by each other. The Jews always wanted when Paul goes to these churches, so when he went to Thessalonica or when he went to Philippi, the Jews came right behind him and started bringing back the law again. This is what the Jews, they hated what Paul was teaching. They hated it. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. They hated it. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things for your own countrymen. He's talking to the Thessalonians. They suffered, even as they have of the Jews. Verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. The Jews weren't having it. They were not having it. If you weren't found doing the law, why were they going against Paul so bad? Because he's teaching something different. He's teaching grace. He's teaching a whole different new program that was never even spoken of throughout the Old Testament. And they're like, who in the world is this guy? The Gentiles had to go under Israel. Israel was to be blessed, and all nations under them were going to be blessed through them. Israel was the head. But Israel's not the head no more. And these guys couldn't take it. And they're like, why ain't you teaching the law? This is my God. This is our law. This is you be under us. Why are you teaching them dogs, them Gentiles? They're supposed to be under us. And they couldn't take it. And that's what the book of Acts is showing you. That it's a fall of Israel. And it's going back to... it's going to a new program, which is what we're under. And there's that... we have a poster back there that kind of shows... But it's called a mystery today, because as being so, it was a mystery. It was kept secret. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So the persecution didn't, this persecution that the Thessalonians were dealing with, it did not hinder the gospel. It did not hinder the spread of the gospel. They, like we just got done saying, that the Jews opposed Paul's message greatly. I think I mentioned this before, but remember how noble the Bereans were? Well, you didn't hear too much of, even though that's a good, you know, they searched the scriptures with all readiness of mind, but to find out if them things were so. But you don't hear too much about Berea after that too much. But Thessalonians, you hear more about that. You got two epistles about them. And that means, like, to me, that just means that they went through the hardships and they went through the hard times and they kept going. And like we, and they got this gospel out. And here we're going to see here in a moment that they were nice beacons for the Lord. And I do want to mention, I don't think we're going to go. I don't think we're going to go there. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, we're not going to go there, but it mentions that our labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. You know, and that's what the Thessalonians, they have a position in heaven. They all have died, and they're all in the heavenlies right now, and their labor was not in vain. Ours is not in vain. Yours is not in vain. So the question being asked, so what are we going to ask ourselves? What am I doing to reach others with this gospel? What am I doing to reach people with this gospel? What am I doing on my day-to-day life? What am I doing to show somebody the love that's in me to others? And it's not easy sometimes, you know. It's not easy for me at times. Sometimes I slack just like everyone else. But just whatever avenue you can find to try and get this message out. The ministry of reconciliation that we've seen. Am I just enjoying the pastor's preaching? When the pastor preaches every day, am I just enjoying it? Just getting this head knowledge and just feeling good when I come here, living for myself. We've seen in that ministry of reconciliation, we're not supposed to live for ourselves. Doing nothing to reach the lost. And I think Dave Stewart said it good. He said it real good. He said, to get this message out, it's like you have a cure for cancer. And that cure, just by being human beings, you got to get that cure out, right? And just, these people are headed to eternal damnation. There's people that are headed to a torment that can't be comprehended, you know? And that is going to be an eternal torment. So it's like you have that cure that you want to get out to others, and you want to try and cure them from this sinful world and come. I mean, we don't think of it like that, but you know, it was a good thought. I remember that how Dave explained that, and it was deep, because it is that deep, you know. So it just has us to look in ourselves and be like, okay, what am I doing for the Lord? A quick little thing, that faith, love, and hope. Faith is believing, love is serving, and hope is waiting. So we know that those are a nice little thing. And it's in the back there, and I think I have, let me see. And I know I'm getting back into faith, love, and hope, but I think I might close here soon. But that faith, and even in the epistles of Paul, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians is encompassed in faith. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians is encompassed in love. And Thessalonians, you guessed it, encompassed in hope, because it's what it's all it's talking about. And Timothy, Titus, and Philemon is encompassed in the fellowship, where us as Christians, we want to fellowship with each other. And where God sees us, we're not perfect, you know. The whole reason he died for us. The Jews couldn't keep the law. You know, they couldn't keep them 613 laws. They couldn't do it. That's why they had animal sacrifices. We have the ultimate sacrifice. We have Christ that has forgiven all trespasses. It's that simple. Past, present, and future. Okay. Well, we can do verse 7 real quick. We got 5 minutes. We can do verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So the Macedonia and Achaia, that was Greece. Greece was split into two sections. So one was Macedonia, one was Achaia at the time. Verse 8. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. All of the world was learning from Thessalonica about God's word and what they were doing. I mean, and that begs the question again, is God's word sounding out in you? These people had it rough. The Jews were starting riots. They were doing all type of stuff to these people. And they kept going with it. In verse 9. Here goes where it gets the faith, love, and hope. And it kind of encompasses it and ties it into the Thessalonians. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you. Shows how much influence that Paul had on these people, and how ye turned to God from idols. So there goes that faith. So they were, like I said, they were pagan. They were, you know, they were into idol worship, and anything that's not aligned with the word of God, satanic. It's the doctrines of devils. So they were idolly worshiping. So how that ye turned to God from idols to serve. That's that love. To serve the living and true God. So remember, love is serving. And verse 10. And to wait for his son. That's that hope. From heaven. Whom he raised from the dead. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Something we could think about, huh? So, I appreciate you. Appreciate you letting me teach here once again. Hopefully this was pretty helpful in your own studies and what you think. And does anybody have any questions, comments?
On verse 14 of 2 in 1 Thessalonians, at first I didn't know the churches of God, if that was talking about kingdom churches, but then it said they were in Christ Jesus, so maybe it was, again, the ensemble of Judea is back to the homeland. And they were, so that probably is churches of the Christian, of the grace.
I'm pretty sure that it's, they're talking about grace churches. Yep. I'm not 100% sure, but in that context, it seems like it is. Yep.
And you're going to get a long text because I had other comments, too many other comments.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Anybody else? Anybody want to share anything? Go ahead.
Yes, please. Will you please give the breakdown of the books? Faith, hope, and love again. Romans to whatever.
Oh, it's right there. There's one right back there. But I could say it.
No, that's okay. If it's up there.
Yeah, it's right up there. Yep. That was a nice little breakdown. I got it written in my notebook, but that's what it encompasses. It's got the Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians is love, Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians is faith, and the Thessalonians is hope, and the rest are fellowship. But anything, anybody else? All right, I'll close this off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to just let your word speak for itself again. And we're thankful that we live in a country where it's getting bad, but it's not as bad as others, and we can come together, no problem. The cops aren't on us. The government isn't suppressing us. So they are, but in other countries, we got it blessed compared to others. So let us just keep enjoying the fellowship, and let us just being grateful for the things that we're able, things that we have, and the things that we're able to share with each other. And I want to give you the glory and honor, and appreciate this church. Appreciate everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.